Sector Wars, play Astro Blaster.
R2 droid, increase the power.
Yahoo!
You're all clear, kid.
Friends, thanks for joining us once again for the Diary of an Arcade Employee podcast. I'm Vic Sage, and originally on this episode, I was going to talk about 1980s Centipede. But thanks to Rich Adams on the Diary Facebook page, we're going to be discussing another classic arcade game for this show. Being October, and the fact that Rich requested it, for this Halloween special, we're going to be taking a look at 1982's Satan's Hollow by Bally Midway. Satan's Hollow was developed and produced by Bally Midway, well known for some classic arcade games to say the least, such as Gorf, Wizard of War, Joust, and Tron, to name a few. The game design is credited to Bill Adams, who definitely had a hand in some memorable games. Besides Satan's Hollow, he worked on 1981's Kickman, and even 1983's Discs of Tron, Spy Hunter, 1984's Curveball, and 1989's Tri-Sports, an arcade title featuring a trackball control scheme that was made up of three games, pool, bowling, and mini-golf. Much like Satan's Hollow, Tri-Sports is an arcade game I've not experienced in the arcades of my youth. Now to be fair, I had heard of Satan's Hollow and played it long before it was rolled into the arcade, and that was thanks to Midway's Arcade Treasures for the PlayStation 2 back in 2003. Also of note, both Jim Love and Jeff Nauman have been credited as staff on the game. Jim had a hand in 1984's Curveball for Milestar, as well as Sega's 1995 Apollo 13 pinball table. Of course, based on the Tom Hanks, Kevin Bacon, and Bill Paxton film of the same name. Jeff's resume is a bit more substantial, with highlights including 1986's Rampage, 1987's Xenophobe, and 1989's Arch Rivals. Interestingly enough, it has been said that in some of the arcade cabinets, the wiring harnesses in Satan's Hollow have labels on them that might read Satan's Power or even Satan's Master. Most feel this might have been alternate names to the arcade game. There have also been rumors that in certain parts of the United States, when it was originally released, parent and religious groups got up in arms over the game itself. Which, considering at the time, the popularity of arcade games and the likes of Dungeons & Dragons and Ozzy Osbourne were under attack, a game called Satan's Hollow, which featured an arcade cabinet whose side art had a winged Satan holding up a glowing orb of light or a fireball on a blood-red cabinet. Well, you can see maybe how some folks might have gotten the wrong idea. Now, why I wouldn't normally read from an arcade flyer, the pitch to arcade owners back in the day definitely needs to be heard, because Bally Midway totally went all out on the flyer. The Dark Scrolls warn of the perils of Satan's Hollow. He, the Prince of Darkness, reigns over an infernal underworld so abhorrent the grotesque gargoyles who safeguard his lair cower at his cloven-hoofed approach. Tis he who rules supremely his domain. By twisted swirls of flame and obedient creatures so wretched, no mortal dareth traverse the bridge of death, crossing the river of fire. Beware him, he is darkness, he is the omnipotent demon Lucifer, he is Satan of the Hollow. Friends, I think you'll agree that is a far cry from 1983's Mappy, that describes itself as the ultimate cat-and-mouse game, right? Well, Satan's Hollow is considered to be part of the fixed shooter genre, similar to Space Invaders, Galaxian, or even Gorf. While there are in fact two different stages, the majority of action takes place in the first stage, a rocky landscape, and at the very edge of the right-hand side of the screen is a fiery river of lava, and in the background of this desolate and mountainous underworld is the castle of the Hollow. The game tasks 1 to 2 players, taking alternate turns with controlling their Firebase, a mobile attack unit that, thanks to the two-way joystick, allowing movement to the left and right, allows the player, thanks to the fire button, to launch a missile into the sky in the hopes of destroying one of the flying swarms of gargoyles that make up the grunts of the Hollow. For each missile that smashes into a gargoyle, the player will receive not only 120 points, but the pleasing sound of the beast squawking in alarm as it's obliterated. The gargoyles truly do swarm. These enemies, which honestly look more like dragons to me, will fly in figure eights and circular patterns and such. Of course, in later stages, they become more deadly and accurate with their own missiles, as well as their attempts to dive bomb into a player's firebase. To make matters worse, the gargoyles have another trick up their sleeve. If you aren't paying attention, one might slip to the bottom of the screen and slide beneath your firebase. Not just adding a threat of it flying back upwards and slamming into you, costing you a life, like in Galaga, but some of these gargoyles are out to steal one of your reserve lives. Making contact with one of your extra men, they'll begin to ascend up into the sky, with your extra man in tow. A player need only hit the flying thief with a missile to return the fire base to your reserves. In addition to dive bomb tactics, as well as firing their own missiles at you, some of the gargoyles, the egg throwers, which look like a tantrum-throwing green monster, will do as their name suggests. They chuck eggs down at the player's firebase. These eggs, when they hit the ground, will cause a fiery explosion that will remain present for a few seconds. Obviously, this is bad news for the player, because if you come in contact with a missile or a gargoyle or these flames, it will destroy your firebase. It's real easy in the later stages to find yourself getting cornered by these exploding eggs. For dispatching an egg thrower, the players will get 225 points. Also worth 225 points are the annoying red-colored bridge bombers, who drop boulders from the sky that, as you can probably guess, will annihilate a piece of your bridge if they come in contact with it. Obviously, if these boulders come in contact with your firebase, they will destroy you as well. So you will need to keep your eye open on what is coming down from the sky while playing Satan's Hollow. Thankfully, the players do have a limited means of self-defense. And that is thanks to a shield button. Missiles, collisions with the gargoyles, and egg eruptions, boulders, and even the raging breaths of fire by the devil bosses can be negated with the shield button being pressed. The problem is, you only have a few seconds of it. Starting at an energy level of 15, when you hold the shield button down, it rapidly dwindles. It's definitely not 15 seconds worth of protection. Now, the shield energy will regenerate itself, but it's a feature you should rely on only as a last resort. For every gargoyle you manage to blast out of the sky, you will be awarded one piece of the bridge. The player must move to the far left of the screen, where the piece will immediately be picked up, and bring it over to that river of fire on the right-hand side of the screen. Once the bridge is completed, it will allow the player to cross over to the far right and face off against Satan himself. Keep in mind, you cannot stockpile pieces of the bridge, however, so it's best to try and get a bridge piece over on the right-hand side of the screen as quickly as possible. Every time you defeat a wave of the flying gargoyles, a lone gargoyle will fly across the top of the screen with a flag and add it to the Castle of the Hollow. I mention these flags because when you do cross over the bridge and into the Hollow, and you manage to defeat Satan, you will get 1,000 points for each flag on the castle. A nice way to rack up some points and earn extra fire bases, especially in the beginning levels. But when a player wipes out a wave or rack of gargoyles, it will result in one of three devils making an appearance and trying to stop you from reaching Satan's Hollow. The three devils are represented by red-hued and horned faces with glowing yellow eyes and jaws agape with sharp teeth, holding aloft pitchforks as they swerve and duck in the sky. As a means to defend themselves, they will vomit forth a stream of fire in an attempt to melt your firebase. These three devil bosses are Beelzebub, Old Nick, and Lucifer. A single missile will temporarily destroy one of these bosses and start a new wave of a gargoyle assault. A new stage consists of a greater number of flying gargoyle enemies to contend with, as well as an increase in speed in your foes. You need to also keep in mind that on the higher stages, that river of lava, the gap, grows considerably wider each time you take out Satan, which means you need even more bridge pieces to safely cross on the right-hand side of the stage. For what it's worth, taking down Beelzebub will net you 250 points, with Old Nick earning you 500 points, and Lucifer as well as Satan being worth 1,000 points. The way you can tell these bosses apart is Beelzebub presents a larger target, and he moves about the screen a little bit slower. With Old Nick being a little smaller and faster, Lucifer is an even smaller target and quicker, and then finally there is Satan. As you might expect, Satan is the hardest boss. Easily 1/4 the size of Beelzebub, and this foe hurls pitchforks down toward the player as it flits across the stage like an enraged hornet. Worst of all, your shields offer no protection against this manner of attack. Every time you come against Satan and defeat him, you will, besides the 1,000 point prize for blasting him out of the sky, earn the flag bonuses plus an extra firebase, but only up to a maximum of 3 in reserve. In addition, when you defeat Satan, you will gain an extra cannon on your firebase, up to 3, which greatly helps in dispatching those waves of flying gargoyles. Although, every time your firebase is demolished, you lose 1 of those extra cannons. Yet again, in the later stages of the game, so much is coming at you, from the missiles and eggs, boulders and suicidal gargoyles themselves. You are going to be hard-pressed to keep those extra cannons for very long. One last thing to keep in mind, to add to the difficulty of Satan's Hollow, which is truly a challenging game, even on those early levels. Every time you defeat Satan and the next round begins, the background of the stage, I'm talking about the sky and mountains, and even the enemies, change to a darker shade of color. At one point, it's almost like playing in complete darkness. If you've played a Magic's Demon Attack on the Intellivision, you will have an idea of what I'm talking about. Now the good news is, the darkening colors of the stage do lighten back up, if you can survive for that long. Like a few of the games I've covered on this podcast, points are about the furthest thing from my mind. Although I can tell you that at the Arcadia Retrocade, the high score holder for Satan's Hollow is Henry Holder, with an impressive 44,255 points.
And now, these messages.
I'm John Madden for CBS Video Games. I've got a great money-back offer for you. But first, watch this exciting competition in the CBS Video Games Challenge of Champions. Today's challengers, Arcade Aces, Tony Sarkis against Ray Johnson. The game, Wizard of War, new from CBS Video Games. The object, defeat the wizard, his henchmen, and your opponent.
Tony hits Warlock. He misses Ray. Ray fires at the wizard. Wizard zap Tony.
Ray Johnson wins. Wizard of War, new from CBS Video Games.
Are you up to the challenge?
You've seen how challenging Wizard of War is. Now we'll bet your money back that Wizard is tougher than you are. Buy it, and after 3 days, if you think otherwise, return it to your participating dealer with your receipt and get your money back. How can we make this money-back offer? Because we know how tough this game is. But maybe you're not up to the challenge.
So, you want to know the story of Splatterhouse, the new horror video game for TurboGrafx-16? They say he stalks the old haunted mansion. They say he's looking for his girlfriend. They say his only weapon against the maggot-eating ghouls who took her is a 2x4. And you say you want to play this game? Splatterhouse. Only for the TurboGrafx-16 system from NEC.
love for car has never been more real. Introducing the first ever Pontiac G8 GT, the most powerful car under 30 grand.
Listeners, I wouldn't normally play a car commercial on this podcast, even one that is playfully based on 1983's Spy Hunter arcade game. But this ad, it's done with such reverence to the arcade game itself, I just felt compelled to include it. I will, of course, be sure to add the commercial to the Retroist post for this podcast episode if you want to check it out for yourself. Friends, while Satan's Hollow had ports planned for the Atari 8-bit computer and 5200, it appears to have been a victim of the video game crash of 83. Moby Games, though, says the computer version was finished and leaked online. And checking YouTube, it appears that is the case. And it's not a bad-looking port either. Back in 1984, though, the Commodore 64 did receive an official release by Bally Midway for Satan's Hollow. After that, it has been made available on both Midway Arcade Treasures and Midway Arcade Origins. Satan's Hollow really is a great arcade title. When Shay managed to snag a cabinet for the Arcadia Retrocade, this was around the end of our second year, maybe around our third. It quickly became a popular game. It didn't hurt that, like Tron, it has an eye-catching black light built into the control console, as well as a bright red control stick. Except, with Satan's Hollow, instead of the plastic Tron logo set in the control stick, it's a picture of a bird skull. Or, I suppose it's meant to be a gargoyle skull. Tron, Gorf, and Satan's Hollow all feature a plastic insert in the control stick. And at the arcade, that is constantly what Shay's having to order, and John Munkus and Adam Jenkins have to replace. We do try to keep our eyes open, but it seems like some younger players who visit the arcade just don't realize that the plastic insert is just for decoration, and not a fire button. As we do our rounds, we continuously find they have pressed too hard and broken it. While it is a simple repair, try to remember that Shay's goal is to have original parts and equipment for all the machines, so it's becoming a little expensive in some cases. With Satan's Hollow being a Bally Midway game, it has earned a spot in the arcade against the Tron Wall. That area of the arcade where Shay not only displays all of our Tron collectibles, but it is made to look like the brick wall from Flynn's arcade in Tron Legacy. Against that wall is where you will find 1983's Journey arcade game, Tron, and even Discs of Tron. Friends, I think that about wraps up about everything I need to say about Satan's Hollow. I want to thank you all again for taking the time to listen to the show. In addition, another big thanks to Rich Adams for suggesting the episode in the first place. Our next episode will be about Centipede. You can find out more about the Arcadia Retrocade by visiting Facebook. Or for daily posts, you can check out the Diary of an Arcade Employee podcast Facebook page. I share all manner of vintage arcade and home console fun multiple times a day. If you have any feedback or comments about the podcast, you can always reach me on Facebook or throw me an email at vicsage@retroist.com. You also can often find me posting videos of the arcade or something video game related on my Instagram account, which is simply vicsage_. I, of course, want to thank the Retroist, not for just hosting the show, but for providing a spot on the internet where you can visit throughout the week to find some of the best retro-related articles and podcasts. The Diary of an Arcade Employee podcast is available on iTunes and now on Spotify. So, if you have a moment, why not subscribe and help us get the word out on the show by leaving a review and some comments. Until next time, I hope each and every one of you have a very safe and happy Halloween. This has been a Retroist production. Thank you for listening, and have a better one. Goodbye.
End of line.